How are you, Mr. Eastwood?
Well, I'm really, really good and extremely busy and in demand and on top and kicking ass, bro. No, seriously, dig this, Alex. I just came off live off of my show. Managed to shovel a bowl of leftover pasta that I cooked for the missus last night down and grab some coffee and here I am on your radio show, and we've got like what, 2 hours now? Yeah? Dang, that's awesome. Because a couple of weeks ago, I'd been asking American Freedom Radio, please give me an extra hour a day, because 2 hours a day ain't enough. I'm getting too comfortable. I'm getting bored. It's not a challenge. You talk to people and you say doing 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, as though it's nothing, is such a statement. Because I think, like, most radio shows fail within the first year because of the exorbitant workload. And that's if they're just hosting, let alone doing all the editing, all the uploading, all the web design, all the organizing, all the producing, I do everything. And it's nothing to me. And I'm just a natural at this, a natural. And what people have begin to do is realize this, that I've got something really good going for me. I have blazing trails in each and every direction that I see fit. I cannot lose, basically. I'm like Parker Lewis in that sense of the word, from the TV show Parker Lewis Can't Lose. There's another element to this, is I can't actually do any of this at all without the huge amount of support, mostly financial, but also in other ways, like bringing me beer or taking me out to see a movie or taking me out for coffee and stuff like that. You become the recipient of charity, essentially, in this movement. That's what I've found. And the most important thing about sacrificing your time, your life, and your career's prospects for the truth is that you now have to accept charity at every conceivable opportunity. Take the money. If somebody's giving you $20 because you're giving them some DVDs to support your cause, by all means, take that money because you need it to keep working. And so many people, this is why a lot of radio shows fail within the first year, because they're too proud to accept the support of people. Okay? So, on the one hand, I'm doing the kind of work by myself that an entire media team cannot do to the same quality and level of effect that I'm doing. But at the same time, I am being humbled by how much on a razor's edge I have lived these past 5 years, exposing the truth about things. Absolutely on a razor's edge. Like every day that a bill comes in, when I got nothing, okay, I will think, oh my goodness, there's a week to pay off that bill. Where the hell is that money going to come from? And then instantly, a donation and virtually the exact same amount will come in without me even talking about it, asking about it, or even talking to anybody else. Right? That was just something inside my head, something that was freaking me out. Wondering how I'm going to keep doing the radio show, wondering how I'm going to continue giving New Zealand activists and others from around the world coverage on an international level on 26 AM FM affiliates. And more to the point, what would happen to me if I didn't have this radio show, if I didn't have this audience, if I had to go and get a regular job in order to feed myself? I can't do that. I cannot. And it's a simple thing, like the first three jobs that I had in telecommunications were my last three jobs that I had in telecommunications. You know what I'm saying? And there's a reason for that, because every single one of them, there was stuff going on that I didn't like, and I'd wind up having to leave for one reason or another. First one was doing residential telesales. I'd call people up in the while they're in the middle of dinner and stuff like that, and I had a 50% strike rate. One in two people who picked up that phone would sell what I was selling them. I had the absolute 100% convincing, truthful gift of the gab, and the bonus was I was truthful, and I didn't lie to anybody in order to execute my job properly. However, despite that, I saw a whole bunch of other people around me who weren't being quite so honest, who weren't being quite so forward, and instead using their talents to manipulate people into doing what they wanted rather than telling the person the truth and using that to manipulate themselves into wanting the thing that is best for them. And if I didn't encounter somebody who was able to, like, save money on their toll calls or whatever stuff like that that I was doing, I would actually be able to consult with them over the phone just for free, because I knew all the competitors and all of that sort of stuff. I got to know the entire industry while everybody else was just sitting there, and the only thing that they glanced at was a page on a phone book with numbers to call endlessly. I was going out and I was bringing in more information, more credibility into the game, and so they promoted me. And at the time I was telling them, look, I can't do this kind of sales game anymore. I really can't. It's not what I want to do. So yeah, they gave me another sales job and called it being a business account manager. You know how many business accounts I managed? Zero. Okay? It was just cold calling, except instead of cold calling to people at home and helping the individual people out, I was cold calling to businesses and trying to help them out. And I just didn't want to do it. I'd walked around the whole company, you know, all three floors of it, gotten to know people in all the different eclectic areas that are like business account managing through to telesales people and people in provisioning and all of these other different things like customer care and things that you'll find at a telecommunications company. And I saw the same problems with the company that being expressed by all the workers on an almost consistent basis. So I spent some time actually writing a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company and all of these different sectors and parts of it, how to improve staff retention and all of these other things. And what I found was they didn't care. They called us all into this big, nice boardroom, you know, the guy who's like the second in charge of the company with all the other business account managers gathered round and copies of this essay in front of all of us to have kind of a meeting about it, right? And we got onto like page 1.5 before his phone goes off and he goes, sorry, I don't have time for this, and then exits the meeting. Meanwhile, everybody has responded very positively to every single point that I raised in that document. And a couple of days later, I asked them what's happening with this, and he says, as far as I'm concerned, the issue is resolved. They didn't care. That wasn't an environment that I could work in. And sure enough, they knew that it was an environment that I couldn't work in either. So a couple of days after that, my employer takes me to the cafe next door, slaps down a piece of paper in front of me, and says, sign it. I say, what am I signing? He says, we'll give you 6 weeks' pay if you leave. And I go, what do you mean, leave like at the end of the week or anything? And he says, no, right now. Pack up your desk, 5 minutes, get out of here. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I must have really stirred up the hornet's nest here. And they're going to give me $3,000. I haven't had a summer holiday in a long time. So I took the money and I got the heck out of there, and I've never been happier about it in my entire life. It was the best summer ever. I got to pay off all my bills and expenditures. I got to get out of debt, and I got to have a really, really fun time at parties and festivals and stuff all summer long, because a bunch of my mates are into that. Bang! Right? If you expose a little bit of scumbaggery, and people know that you can do this to them, you can actually benefit from it. And so now what I'm doing is I'm benefiting from exposing scumbaggery en masse and benefiting from it in a very interesting way. It's like, have you ever seen those little electricity balls in a glass case or something, in a glass ball or something like that? And it's got the little electric nodes that kind of like shoot off of it. And if you put your finger on the ball or something like that, a little lightning bolt goes to your finger. And, you know, that it's like that. So I'm the little energy ball in the middle, and anybody who touches me, I instantly send out a little message to them and go, thank you very much for following me, or can I help you? Would you like to come on the show? Have you ever been on YouTube before? Are you an activist? Do you have a story? Do you have something I can help you with? Are you a business person? Can I give you a page and a banner on the website so that you can help to expand your business and grow? You know? Every single person that I see that is a truther, I try to help them in any small way that I can, whatever I've got time for, because I got so many people messaging me on Facebook and things like that. Most people that get to this level of doing it don't reply to all that stuff. They say, oh, it's too much. I've got this other work to do, etc. And what I found is interesting is it actually takes longer to read that Facebook message and then come up with an excuse of why you can't help them than it does to read that Facebook message and go, oh, I've got something I've already done on that. I've got a person that I've interviewed or a video that I did or something that actually addresses this very point that this person's about to king. What was that? Oh, it was this. And then I go to my YouTube channel, search on it, grab the link, pop that in there for them, and give them my email address as well if they want to follow up on it. I'm trying to be as responsive as possible, basically. As a direct result, and I only found this out this morning, Alex, I am now New Zealand's number one alternative media. Okay? According to Alexa.com, the other two people in New Zealand who are actually talking about the real alternative stuff and not just pussyfooting around would be tumiki.blogspot.com. I mean, Māori tumiki means too much. It's too much, bro. It's too much. And they're real classic and very, very much against the tyranny and that sort of thing. So you've got to give them the due credit. And also uncensored.co.nz. My friend Jonathan Eisen, who does Uncensored magazine, he has been in the game for many, many years and is now in the middle of doing two publications, both Uncensored and the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. And I've now eclipsed the rankings of his website too, and he was pretty highly ranked. And also the other radio in New Zealand that was alternative that has a website would be Radio Wātea, which is Māori radio, urban kind of radio with talking and all sorts of different shows on there. And I'm substantially bigger than them as well. And that is only one of my websites. That is only the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. So that alone, I'm New Zealand's largest platform for alternative news now, just by rankings. Now, the difference being, of course, that I am, of course, appealing to many international followings and what have you, so maybe their New Zealand audience would be a tad bit larger than mine. But overall, let's consider that that's just my website. That doesn't include my YouTube channel, which has 10 times as much minimum as much hits as my website does, and that's not including Guerrilla Media, which has about half as much as the VinnieEastwoodShow.com at this point, a little more than half. So because of my methodology of connecting and helping everybody who makes contact with me if I can, I've built that basically out of nothing. Anybody can do that if they really, really wanted to. The problem is, it takes a lot of work, a lot of guts, and a lot of sleepless nights, and most people don't want to do that with their life. They want to spend time with their families, they want to de-stress, and they want to relax, basically, when they get home, if they've got a full-time job, as most people do. That's why they can't do this. But I can. And I developed this thing, employophobia. Okay, because after that first telecommunications job, I went to another one, and the exact same result. They promoted me really quickly, and in a matter of months or something, I was basically their top guy from coming in to do from nothing. And developed all these methodologies for them that they helped out with. And then I found out that, oh my God, I had to pay for my own phones, I had to pay for my own gas, I had to pay for my own everything. And I was actually losing money working for them. You got to be kidding me. So I quit that. And a guy who was one of their sales coaches and stuff like that quit at the same time and started up a new company in direct competition with them, which he recruited me and a number of other the top salespeople from it. And then I started to get abuse from this guy. My mate who was working in his office had his ankle broken, right, so in a cast. And he picks him up by the throat against the wall and kicks him in the shins of his cast. Okay? Like, that's how violent and psychopathic this guy was. Always hustling around, you know, doing bodybuilding and getting one woman after the another coming down. Just basically a scumbag who has no care, compulsion, or empathy for anybody whatsoever. A sociopath, in other words. A brutal, dictatorial sociopath, just like I didn't want to get involved with. And working for that guy depressed me. I get calls at like 10 o'clock at night while I'm sitting on my mate's couch on a Friday having a beer. And I get an angry call from this guy telling me to get up off the couch, find a pen and paper, and write down the number of a customer to call on Monday. And that was not an isolated incident. My life became invaded by this. And it had a lot of psychological effects on me. I was getting really, really stoned every day before going to work because I just couldn't handle it. I was getting really depressed. And one day, they've been making me go out these ridiculous routes, like miles and miles away from where I live. So I had to drive huge distances in order to make these appointments. And it turns out that they were giving all the appointments that were in my area that would have taken me 2 minutes to drive to somebody who lives on the North Shore, like 30 kilometers away, and sending me 30 kilometers in another direction. And then they offered me these sales and leads and stuff like that. And I just realized what they've been doing to me. And I was just like, I can't do this, man. I called my friend John Eisen up from Uncensored, as I mentioned before. And I said to him, I'd never quit a job before. You know, I'd never quit a job. I'd either be fired or asked to leave or the job would end of its own accord, you know. And it's... I asked him, I really want to quit. What should I do? And he said, he didn't, you know, tell me what to do or anything. He just asked me a question. He says, well, does it feel right? Does it feel right to quit? And it's like, yeah, it does. He goes, there's your answer. So I quit, and I have never been able to get a job again. I went for a job interview once, and I started to kind of have a bit of a nervous kind of feeling, or almost getting close on a panic attack at the thought of being employed during the interview. And even my best mate, Jono, he offered me a job because I was in a real rough patch earlier on this year, selling home insulation door to door and for checkups and stuff like that on a commission basis. And I was having a very, very kind of clear panic attack the night before going to do this job. And so I had to call him in the morning to tell him, man, I just can't do this. So whatever happened to me in all of these bad past experiences, whatever it was that I wanted to be, my destiny has now changed. But I bring that same talent and that same ability to rake in the cash, to talk like there's something good going on. I bring that to the truth movement because so many of us are angry with each other It ain't all campfires and kumbaya behind the scenes. This life is fracking tough, and people ain't got no coping mechanisms. Do you think being told that you're about to be exterminated and that there's all these hollow point rounds being thrown everywhere and that there's PDD 51 that says the president's a dictator and there's fluoride in the water and there's GMOs in the food and all of that stuff, do you think any of that stuff makes you feel good? Do you think any of that information and how it's presented makes you capable of dealing with it? They give you the information of how to cut it out of your life, but they still tell you about all the other things that you can't do nothing about, that are still there, that are still growing in the background, still getting worse. It's like mold that's behind a bed or something like that on the wall, and you pull the bed away as, oh my God, the mold's there, and then you freak out. But what is happening now is that bed is made of a transparent plastic, and you can see the mold the whole time while you're sleeping to it, and you can't do nothing about it. The only way you can do it is just try and find some kind of coping mechanism. And I don't know. I deeply think about things, and I take things very seriously, but I can also make a joke out of anything. I'm kind of like the MacGyver of joke making. You can come up with virtually any sentence, and I'll come up with some kind of lame joke about it. You know, it's extraordinary. A lot of people find it incredibly annoying, which is good because they only listen to me for an hour or two at a time.
Very good. Well, you sure have a wonderful way of putting it.